trying to deal with financial reforms.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. A key component of President Obama's financial regulatory reforms appears to be in jeopardy. There is news today that Senate Banking Committee Chairman Christopher Dodd may drop plans for a new consumer protection agency. Marketplace's Sam Eaton is with us live in our Los Angeles studio with the latest. Good morning, Sam.
Good morning, Steve.
So given the fact that popular support for these kinds of reforms is still strong, Sam, I mean, why such a dramatic concession?
Well, first of all, you've got Senator Dodd announcing recently that he won't be seeking re-election next November. Now, that move eases some of the pressure on him to put a populist stamp on proposals for financial reform now in the Senate. But that doesn't change the fact that Democrats and Republicans alike feel a sense of urgency in passing something before the next election season, so they don't appear to be totally out of touch. And since Republicans reject the idea of a new standalone agency that would boost consumer protections and credit card and mortgage lending, reaching some kind of compromise is critical here.
All right. So what form would that compromise take, then?
Well, it looks like the idea of beefing up consumer protections is still on the table, but Republicans favor a more diluted approach over creating an entirely new federal agency. They would rather create a new consumer protection division within an existing department like the U.S. Treasury, not exactly in line with the financial reform regulations President Obama proposed last June, but it may be critical to passing the legislation before the next elections. It just turns out that this compromise falls a little closer to the interests of the banking industry, which has lobbied heavily against the idea of this standalone consumer protection agency.
All right. Marketplace's Sam Eaton joining us this morning. Sam, thanks.
Thanks.
Let's check numbers. European markets are up right now, 0.25%. Asian shares closed mostly higher today. The Nikkei was up. The Hang Seng gave a little back. Tech stocks in Asia got a bit of a boost from Intel's earnings report that came out late yesterday. They posted their biggest quarterly revenue in more than a year. Profits were up with a strong rebound in the personal computer market. Wall Street yesterday, markets ended the day higher. The S&P was up 0.25%. The NASDAQ added 0.33%, close at 2316. The Dow gained 29 points and topped 10,710. Low-income residents of New Orleans are noticing improvements to the quality of the health care they receive. A new study finds their care is more efficient and more affordable and creates less medical debt than most American adults. Now, that's thanks to an effort to boost up primary medical care after Hurricane Katrina. From the Marketplace Health Desk at WHYY in Philadelphia, Gregory Warner reports.
New Orleans health care problems began long before Hurricane Katrina. If you were sick and uninsured,
you had to get on the bus and go downtown and wait in the emergency room at Charity Hospital.
Clayton Williams is with the Louisiana Public Health Institute. He says when floods from Katrina shut down Charity Hospital, low-income residents lost their main source of health care. Nonprofit health centers and community clinics cropped up to fill the void. Instead of rebuilding the hospital, a $100 million federal grant went toward incentives for the clinics to network with each other and improve their electronic records.
So that the clinics were actually eligible for more money if they met certain benchmarks, such as becoming better coordinated, accessible sites of care.
That's Melinda Abrams of the Commonwealth Fund, which conducted the study. She says New Orleans is a good model for healthcare reform.
The access for disadvantaged people in New Orleans is better than for the average American.
In Philadelphia, I'm Gregory Warner for Marketplace.
Microsoft says it was a security flaw in Internet Explorer that played a role in Chinese attacks against Google. Nearly two dozen other companies were affected as well. The software giant is considering issuing an update to fix that problem. Google was outraged by the attacks that pried into email accounts of human rights activists who oppose Chinese government policies. It's threatening to pull out of China if it doesn't back off of rules requiring censorship of results.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing, online surveys, and event marketing. ConstantContact.com.
The U.S. Figure Skating Championships kick off today in Spokane, Washington. They're going to determine which U.S. skaters advance to next month's Winter Olympics in Vancouver. But the winners may not have as much media draw as the skaters who once dominated the airwaves. Here's Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman.
Ever hear of Rachel Flatt or Alyssa Sisney? If you haven't, that's probably not great news for Smucker's, AT&T, and State Farm, sponsors of the U.S. Figure Skating Championships. Both skaters are expected to advance to the Winter Games, but they certainly don't have the same name recognition as Nancy Kerrigan and Tanya Harding. USA Today sports columnist Christine Brennan was at the Winter Games in 1994 when the pair faced off.
When the women's short program went on in Lillehammer, Norway, the TV ratings were huge. Half the nation basically watched something that was 8 hours old and they knew the results of.
Brennan points out even the Super Bowl doesn't get ratings that high anymore, and most sports have seen audience deterioration, but figure skating has fared worse. By the 2006 games, just 16% of Americans tuned in to watch the women skate.
The U.S. does not have a dominant female skater and hasn't since Michelle Kwan retired in 06. And there's been no one to fill the void.
Come February, figure skating is still expected to top the ratings, ahead of bobsled, skiing, even men's hockey, says Hill Caro, who's organizing the next U.S. Figure Skating Championships.
Figure skating is the number one sport in the Winter Olympics. By every measure, it's the most popular, it's the most watched.
Alyssa Cottrell will be watching. I met her at an indoor skating rink in Portland where her daughter was taking a lesson.
I always liked figure skating when I was younger, and now that my daughter's really excited about it, I think, you know, it'll be fun to watch the Olympics with her.
That's figure skating's ideal target audience, a mother and daughter watching TV in prime time. It's also a good demographic for local skating rinks, which expect to see a surge of young girls coming in for lessons, skates, and rink time after all the hype and medal winning in Vancouver. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And finally, London's Telegraph newspaper reports R&B singer Beyoncé made nearly $2 million to perform at a resort for Mutasim Bilal Gaddafi, the son of longtime Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi. Ah, the life of the son of a North African dictator. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.